God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from the book of Revelation as we pick up another one of John's letters to the church. Again, in this church, however, there is a word of encouragement. Apparently, there was great persecution for the faith, and the people there in Pergamum did not renounce the faith. They held firm to the faith, even if it cost them their own life. Some were put to death. We thank the Lord that we were not in that type of situation. How long would we last under persecution, knowing that we may die for the faith? Would we renounce the faith, thinking that I can ask for forgiveness of sins later? Well, to this church, John writes, yes, you have been faithful. And he talks about the sharpness of the double-edged sword. And that's very important. Because the sword can do two things. It can defend, it also can attack. And it's great in when it is defending you, but that same sword also needs to come upon this church. Because they have done something that God does not like. They have sort of given in, a little bit of temptation has sort of enveloped them. As he talks about in verse 14, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who are holding to the teaching of Balaam. And also likewise, in verse 15, you have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Plain and simple, God is saying, wait a minute, we need not only hang on to this word, we need to hang on to this word and its truth and its purity. God has little room for error in His word. Because how much error does it take before you really go astray? In today's society, we always like to push the limits. You know, how far can I go before I get into trouble? How fast can I drive before I get ticketed? How much sin can I have in my life and still be considered a Christian? All these questions really are bad questions to ask. We need just to go back to God's Word and say, okay, God, show me what Your Word says. Help me to live it. Don't let me look for how much I can be a sinner and still maintain my faith, but help me to follow You with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. I will admit that is very challenging for us as Christians, especially since our human sinful nature is still there. The corruption of our nature is still strong. Even though the Spirit resides within us, even though we hear the Word of God that we hang on to, we hear that word of forgiveness, that joy that we have, the peace, the eternal life that God provides each and every one of us. We love that part of God's Word. But when God's Word says, do not sin at all, we start saying, are there any loopholes? Are there any exceptions? We are no better than the church that John is writing here in Revelation chapter 2, 12 through 17. But God does not want us to perish by the sword. He wants us to live. So let's hop to the end of this letter. In verse 17, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I love this phrase, the hidden manna. We may remember, especially since our Old Testament lesson alluded to it, and so did our gospel a little bit, about the special gifts of God, especially the gift of manna. We may remember the people of Israel leaving Egypt, going to the promised land, and they didn't have enough food, and God provided them food in the form of manna, and they found it on the ground. God said, here it is. Feeding hundreds of thousands of people, God is able to do that. What is John here referring to, the hidden manna? God again feeds His people. He knows our journey is going to be tough. He knows our journey is filled with a lot of temptations. He knows we're naturally going to want to sort of look for the exception, the loophole, press the limits of God and His love. So he says, I will feed you. And how does God feed us? With that hidden manna? Well, first of all, we have to ask, who is it hidden to? If it's hidden from us, then obviously we can't eat it. But it's really hidden to those who don't believe. See, as Christians, we know something. At least we should know something. That God, through His Word, strengthens us. God, through His body and blood, and the bread and the wine, gives us that strength. That strength to overcome temptation. So whenever temptation comes, what do we need to do? We need to go back to His Word and sacrament. We need to go to Him for strength. The world around us looks at us kind of foolishly. And thinking of the Bible as just some old book, they're thinking, how can you get anything out of that old book? But that book, even though it may be old, is the Word of God. That Word that said, let there be light, and there was light. That Word that said, let there be the earth, and there was the earth. Let there be animals, plants. Let there be humans, and it was. It's that Word that gives us life. Needless to say, that Word will keep us on the right track for eternal life. Then there's also something else in this. That's the hidden manna. John also says, I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. And we may be thinking, where is this white stone coming from? Well, there is a relationship to sort of the Greek judicial system. That white stone was sort of like that verdict saying someone is not guilty. That's also connected to the concept of that new name written on it. If we think back in our own life, when were we declared not guilty? And when was a new name written upon us? Obviously, the connection is to baptism. In baptism, all of a sudden, we are now considered children of God. God puts His name upon us. We now belong to Him. And because we now belong to Him, God the Father looks at us, even though we're sinful and we fall short of God's glory, but through Christ, He says, you are not guilty because Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Notice in verse 17, John is drawing the people to these events and saying, get back to God's Word. Grow in that faith. And here is how. Read His Word. Receive His sacrament. Remember your baptism, because you only need to be baptized once. But remember why you need to be baptized. Verse 17 is sort of the power embedded into it for us Christians to follow. That power to remain faithful. That power to sit there and say, Lord, I want to follow You. Give me the strength. And He says, here's the strength. Now, as Christians, we have the strength that God gives us through His Word, through His sacraments. We remember our baptism. We may do well while we're still here in church. But the moment we set foot outside the door, we better be praying, Lord, give me that strength. I'm going to need it. Temptation comes every day. That sword, again, is there not only to defend us, but also to remind us to stay on the right path. So let us use the sword to defend the church. God's holy word, the power that it gives, so that we can hang on to that faith and be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. Yes, temptation does come. Fortunately, it doesn't necessarily come in the form of formal persecution as it did during the church at this time. It comes in the form of informal persecution, where Christians are sort of asked to sort of bend their ways a little bit, to be a little bit more open-minded, to release some of these tough boundaries we may have. Whereas the church today needs to stand firm upon God's Word, not to make apologies for it and say, but this is what God tells us. This is what we teach. This is what we believe. I will admit it's kind of tough. But it is possible. Strangely enough, I was very pleasantly surprised at our last voters meeting. I wasn't too sure what was going to happen. We sent out the two documents to every single household that President Barry once wrote. What about abortion? What about homosexuality? Two topics our world is greatly struggling with. Two topics even in which some Christians are sort of bending the rules. But in those documents, it was very clear of what God's Word says. I will admit, as your pastor, I was a little apprehensive. Apprehensive because I was afraid some of us may say, well, if that's what we believe, then maybe I don't want to be part of Trinity. I was ready for a challenge, even at the voters' meeting, to be prepared to defend these documents beyond what the written document said. To my great surprise, there was no challenge. We need to pat ourselves on the back, at least for now, but realize as soon as we walk out the door, we are faced with different challenges. It might be easy for us to pass two documents that say homosexuality is a sin and abortion is a sin. But how many times in our own life do we sometimes bend the rules because we don't want to stand firm upon God's Word? Well, when we feel like bending the rules, we have to remember what verse 17 says. As the title of the sermon reminds us, we need to enjoy the manna. Enjoy the grace of God's Word. Let Him fill us. Let Him strengthen us. Let Him encourage us so that we can stand firm, so that we don't bow to the boundaries that our world wants to set, but we follow the rules that God has for us, the path that leads to eternal life. Not that following the rules should be bad or should be evil or burdensome, quite the opposite. God's Word is there to release the burden from us, to give us the joy that the world cannot give, and to assure us that, yes, we have the forgiveness of sins and we are bound to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. God's Word is a word of joy, of peace, of release from prison. We better cherish these words and hang on to them as John was reminding the church. It's in these words we have joy, we have peace, we have eternal life. It's in these words we find strength, encouragement. In these words we're able to form strong boundaries. In these words we're able to stand up for what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has taught us. So on this night, we remember to enjoy the manna. And when we have fallen, when we have slipped, when we have released our boundaries and we know we shouldn't have, we come before a loving Savior who still says, that's all right, there is forgiveness. Be filled with strength in my word so you can stand firm. There is salvation. But now be bold and get reconnected to God's word so maybe this won't happen again. We ask the Lord to continue to fill us with that strength so that we will be bold until the end, so that we know that we will be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when He comes again. As verse 17 reminds us, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. We know what that stone is about. We know what that hidden manna is about. It is about our salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Let us hang on to that and cherish it with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.